Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm reading from the gospel that we've heard today, this very simple gospel really. Jesus found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." And Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We've found the one Moses wrote about, Jesus of Nazareth." "Nazareth, can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. Lord, bless this word to us. Open our hearts to receive it. May it be a light that shines brightly in us, in each one of us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Lost and found. That's what we're really talking about today. As I get older, I seem to lose more things. Some of you have that kind of experience. Can anyone tell us where our salt and pepper shakers are? I mean, really? We just couldn't find them for days and days and days. Joy got up on ladders and looked up in the top cupboards and couldn't find them. And then yesterday afternoon, long after I've written this sermon, I look in the cupboard and there they are. And you notice what? They're looking at you, aren't they? They're looking at you. Doesn't it feel that way? So now they're sitting at the table looking at us and making us feel a little uneasy almost. Well, but they're only things. They're only things. Doesn't really matter. They're just things, stuff. They're stuff. What really matters is souls, people. Souls, people. People are lost. Souls are lost and need to be found. That's our chief concern, finding lost people. That was Jesus' chief concern. He said, I don't know if people even ask him why he'd come, but this is what he said, "I have come to seek and to save the lost." Sadly, that doesn't always seem to be the chief concern of the church. Two little stories. The first is from the Bible. You'll recognize it real fast. A shepherd had 100 sheep and he lost one, just one. But he left the 99 and looked for the lost sheep until he found it. What did he do next? He called together, he carried it home on his shoulder, and it says he joyfully carried it home on his shoulder, just one. He'd only lost one, but he's so full of joy. And he goes home and he calls his friends and neighbours together and says, "Come and rejoice with me." What's that tell us about God? You don't have to shout it out, but you can think about it. Now another story. This one's not quite so good. And this is not in the Bible. A girl who had slipped away from God, a teenage girl, and slipped away from church, went to hear Billy Graham. It's a few years ago now, as you can imagine, because Billy Graham's in heaven now. But she went to hear him, probably despite the fact that her pastor told her not to go, because some pastors were like that. But while she was there, God really spoke to her heart, and she went forward when he asked people to, and she gave her, as we say, or some people say, she gave her life to the Lord. She was very excited. And one of the things she did immediately is she decided she would go and tell her pastor. The pastor she probably didn't know that well because she never went to church very often. And you know what? She said, "I've decided to follow Jesus." Now, that was rather unfortunate way to speak, because it was like a red rag to a bull almost. Because he was not at all happy. He said, "That's decision theology. We don't believe in that. God chooses us. We don't choose him." The pastor failed to share her joy, and she went away totally discouraged. And she never went back to church. What's that say about the church? Jesus loves people, and he has a passion for people. whether it's 1 out of 100 or a 99 out of 100, which is a bit closer to the way it is in the world today, he has a passion for people. He looks at people with compassion, and he sees so many, as the Bible says, are harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd, lost. The gospel, on the other hand, is the good news that God loves the world so much that he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to find all these lost souls, to seek and save the lost. And it says at the end of our reading today, as you might have heard it, that he becomes a ladder. He becomes a ladder. This is quoting from the Old Testament, but Jesus says, I'm the ladder now. I came down to earth to heaven, and I will take you up to heaven as you trust in me and follow me. And Jesus did a lot to do that. He gave his life to forgive people. And he gave his life to raise them from the dead. He was raised from the dead, and he will do the same for us, he said. And that fills us with joy, as you can imagine. Let's see how this pans out in our story today. Finding Philip is the first point. Jesus had just been baptized, as we heard in church last Sunday. What happens next? He immediately starts calling people to follow him. In the reading just before today, he calls Andrew, and Andrew immediately goes off to call his brother Peter. Today, in the reading, which is just a day or two after Jesus' baptism, according to this, Jesus finds Philip, and he says to Philip, follow me. It seems as though Jesus is just walking along the road, just going for his morning walk, as it were. Although people did a lot of walking in those days. He's walking from, I don't know where he was, but he's on the road to Galilee anyhow. And he meets Philip and calls him to follow, and he does, just like that. Maybe they had a little conversation before Jesus asked him to follow him. I don't know. But you say, could it really be that easy? You know, you're going for a walk and you say, oh, what about believing in Jesus? And they, yep, okay, I'll do that. Well, sometimes it is that easy. You know, I'm in Kuala Lumpur Airport once upon a time, and you can picture Kuala Lumpur. There's two of them, actually, and you catch a bus from one to the other. And then you kind of have to start again because you think, oh, now, where's this? Where am I going? I'm going to Ho Chi Minh City. Where's the place? And I'm looking at this great big notice board, and you know the notice boards in airports, they keep changing. So you've just located your spot, and then it flick up it goes, and then you've got to wait for it to come through again. So I'm looking there, and a woman's watch must have been watching me, because she comes up to me and she says, are you going to Vietnam? And I said, yes. She said, I can help you. Come with me. I'll show you where to go. Now, that's a bit dangerous in a way, isn't it? Because I don't think we'd normally tell people, go and follow a woman wherever she leads you. But I did. I followed this woman, and she took me to the place where you board the plane. There was still an hour to go. So I had a coffee. I don't know what she had. I can't remember. So we had an hour to go. So we start talking, and she spoke reasonable English. So this was all right. She actually was coming back from Adelaide, believe it or not. And she spoke reasonable English. So we talked about this and that. And then I think she probably said to me, what do you do? I love that question. What do you do? Well, that's a real opener, isn't it? That's a real opener, Mitch. Yep. And so we started talking about God. We'd started talking about God, and she was very receptive. She told me she was a Catholic of sorts, but I don't know that she was regular in worship or anything. Now, this happened 1 year ago this week. 1 year ago this week. I think it was the 15th of January last year. And Hank told me in an email that came about a week or so later, and I'm not bragging here, please don't take it that way. I'm trying to say how quickly God works sometimes. She said to me that I am the best teacher she's ever had. So just in a short time, we talked about God, and the message got through. Just in that very short time. I think it's the Holy Spirit is the best teacher ever, but I'm telling you how she said it. In less than 1 hour, she was brought back to faith in Jesus, and we've emailed each other quite regularly since then, and she is regular at her going to worship. Whether it's finding Philip or finding Hang is her name, the Holy Spirit works in amazing ways, sometimes in very quick ways, sometimes in very long, what seem like long ways to us. Finding Jesus. Now, Philip heads straight off and tells his mate Nathaniel and says, "We have found one of the Old Testament, the one the Old Testament speaks of, Jesus of Nazareth." Now, you notice this, that Philip says, "We've found Jesus." Earlier, it says, "Jesus found Philip." So who found who? Who found who? And I want to say, who cares? Who cares who found who? Philip was found. Philip was found. Philip was found, and there was rejoicing. Kill the fatted calf. Philip is found. Let the party begin. Philip is found. There's more joy in heaven over one sinner who is found or repents than over 99 others who weren't lost in the first place. I missed out a line there. I said, does it really matter who found who? Pastor? That's the pastor who got so snotty there once upon a time. He's not here today, is he? I'm sure he's gone to heaven a long time ago. So thirdly, finding Nathaniel. You can tell how excited Philip was or is because he heads straight off and invites his friend Nathaniel to meet Jesus. And you see, this is a really interesting thing. Lost people who are found by Jesus want all their lost friends to be found and come to Jesus. Nathaniel is a real skeptic. You might have noticed that. Can anything good come out of a hick town like Nazareth? Now, I came from Culburra, by the way, and most of you have never even heard of Culburra. Oh, you've heard of Culburra? That is amazing. But I really came from the Barossa Valley before that, so I'm a bit like your parents. They have moved around a bit. Philip does very well. When he says this, I mean, the thing is, when somebody says, "Oh, come on, Nazareth, who could come from Nazareth?" What would you answer? You see, Philip, I think, does very well. He says, "Come and see. Come and see. Come with me and meet Jesus and listen to him, and you'll find out for yourself that Jesus is who I'm saying he is." And Philip, and when Jesus sees him, he looks right into his heart and he says, "Ah, you're a dinky-dye Israelite. You're the real deal. There's no guile in you. You're not a liar and a thief and everything. I can see that you're an honest bloke." And Philip is really, Nathaniel's really impressed. And instantly he seems to believe. And he says, "Rabbi," which means teacher, "you're the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." That's a good confession, isn't it? After 5 minutes. You notice Jesus doesn't judge him for being so skeptical. Jesus doesn't brand him a sinner and call him to repent. Although there's a time and a place for that too, I might say. Skeptical Nathaniel was not far from the kingdom of God. Jesus could see that. And Jesus was able to show him very quickly that following him, Jesus, in faith, was of far greater worth than continuing to live as a frustrated skeptic or cynic, like so many people are today. What joy for Philip and Nathaniel now to be friends together in the kingdom of God. We go on to finding you. Now we're getting a bit closer to home, aren't we? We've talked about the Bible characters, now it's you. What do you think of Jesus? Do you love him? Do you trust him? Are you following him? I think most of you are, but some of you might. I don't know you all, so maybe some of you aren't. Maybe some of you aren't sure whether you are or not. Maybe some of you are staying on the fringes because it just seems a bit safer out there on the edges somewhere, not wanting to get too close to Jesus because he might look into your heart too, as he did into Nathaniel's heart. Maybe some of you are skeptical about God and about the church. And who wouldn't be a bit skeptical about the church sometimes? But we're really talking here about Jesus and how we feel about Jesus. This week, I was snooping around in an op shop, which is not unusual, and I bought a book called Enjoying God. Enjoying God. And then I visited a parishioner, along with the vicar. We visited a parishioner, and she's not here today because she said she wouldn't be here today, so I thought I can safely just share this little story. And I said to her, how do you feel about enjoying God? And she said she thought the church spoke more of fearing God than enjoying God. What do you think? Well, we are called to fear God, but we're also called to enjoy God. And we don't hear that so much, sadly. But while we're thinking of fearing God, often we misread what that means and it leads us to stay away from God. Rather than being drawn to God and enjoying his presence. Philip and Nathaniel were drawn to Jesus, and so were most of the people of Jesus' day. They saw how much he loved them and cared about them, and they wanted to be with him. Now, they all pretty much deserted him, except a few women, when he was put on the cross, because they didn't understand what was going on then. But later, they said, this is the most precious time of all. When Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that's how he showed the greatest love that anybody could ever show for another person. And Jesus says, they saw how much he loved him, and they heard him say, come and share my happiness. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And the psalmist says, you will fill me with joy in your presence. I think that's Psalm 16. And what about the writer who says that the Lord rejoices over us with singing? With singing. That could be Haggai, but I'm just not quite sure now. But it's a great picture. Jesus is great company, in other words. He invites you to come along with him and share his happiness. Now, the last little bit on finding others. Happy Christians want to share their happiness. They want to share their Lord. Jesus has found them, and they want to share that joy that they've received with other people. Isn't it always like that? If you've had a really great experience, you want to share that with others. Not surprisingly, they go to their friends and share the joy of Jesus with others. We're told the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. That's what people are searching for. And that's what Jesus comes to bring, and he invites us to share it with others. Joyful followers of Jesus are the ones who will go out to their friends to invite them to come and share the love and the joy and the peace and the forgiveness and the everything else that Jesus brings for us. Lyndall, you've been baptized into God's family today. You're our dear friend, and you are also the dear friend of your Heavenly Father and of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. What a day of rejoicing for God and for the angels in heaven and for Lyndall and for us all. Even in the midst of your sadness, there is a leaf that we couldn't find, a leaf of joy that's extended to you from God. Who is the person that you want to share the joy of the Lord with? Who is the person you're praying for that God would bring them to Jesus and his love for them? Who is the person you're showing love to in a really deliberate way and even talking to about God when the time is appropriate? and telling them that God really isn't about rules and regulations, but he's about love and joy and peace. What a joy to join Jesus in finding the lost. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all our understanding, will keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.